This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
It is the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80, the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is in for Max. And the Fantasy Football Marathon continues. You can get in on the action at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, back with you for one more hour. And we are joined now by Mike Clay, ESPN fantasy expert extraordinaire. He puts up more content than anybody else at ESPN pertaining to fantasy. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be here talking some ball. It feels like the season's getting going now, right? I mean, we had Matthew's love-hate. Now we have the marathon. I mean, we're rolling now.
We are absolutely rolling. We're getting closer and closer to the Bucks and the Cowboys who kick off 3 weeks from tomorrow. How about that?
Three weeks from tomorrow. Wow.
Yep, really? Getting close. 25 days until the first Sunday of week one of the NFL regular season. But if you can't wait for football action, watch us on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast every day at 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. Or if you're more of an audio person, you're listening to a radio program after all, find us wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, you name it. And the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. So we've outlined some of the players that made Matthew's love list earlier on in the show. The piece is available on ESPN.com. But because you guys actually want an analyst you can trust, I figured I'd give you some of the players that make my favorites list. And if you're upset about the name lacking originality, we're workshopping it. But my first name is Field, a little alliteration, Field's favorites. If you have something better, tweet them our way.
Right.
Yeah,
he's
on the field.
Okay,
maybe.
Yeah, we have to do something with Field.
What
right?
about? I mean, what about your Chapins?
His wife's
name is Chapin. You love Chapin, obviously.
Right.
So this would be the football versions of your Chapin. Like, what do you love more than Chapin?
Nothing.
Right. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
It is original.
However, I'm not sure that if I just like randomly put that out into the universe, most people will be like, "Oh yes, this guy. I know his wife's name is Chapin."
But how about this for a gift? For your wife. I mean, what if that becomes a synonym for greatness?
Look, honey, I brought you Brandon Ayuk.
Wow, that really would be.
Right?
I have done some romantic things in my marriage, but that's about
like
it.
That ends
that's like top of the list right there, right?
Right. That I mean, that's up there.
Cisco what if it
Golden
goes in,
Boy? What about your Golden Boys?
Yeah.
The Golden After your Boys dog?
Okay.
How about the Golden
Boys?
How about just Fields' favorites for now, right?
Fields' dog is named Cisco Golden Boy. He has his own Instagram account, I'm just saying.
Here's the, no big deal. Here is the gist of the article. It's pretty simple. It's players, it's not players that you haven't heard of, right? This is not sleepers. This is not players that, if you haven't listened to the Fantasy Focus before or haven't been paying attention, you would not be aware of. As a matter of fact, some of these players are bona fide stars. Just players that I find myself gravitating towards, and perhaps I'm a few spots more optimistic in the rankings than others, or I just think this guy is bound for a massive, massive year this year. And if I had to give a captain to the Fields' favorites team this year, it's Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, who has been the talk of the town during Cowboys training camp. He fell to 17th on the board last year in the real NFL draft. There's no way he should have ever gone that low, 17th. The Cowboys, who were not looking for a wide receiver in the first round, were like, how can we bypass a player who might be one of the five best in the entire draft? This is shades of Calvin Ridley in Atlanta, who slid to Atlanta 24th overall 3 years ago, and the Falcons just took him, even if they didn't need him at the time. He eventually became the best wide receiver, at least fantasy-wise, and arguably just overall in Atlanta. It happened pretty quickly. That's where CeeDee Lamb is heading towards this year. Mike, you, of course, do our projections. What do the projections tell you about where CeeDee Lamb ranks, even amongst his own teammates?
I think he's the top guy right now, especially with Amari Cooper missing some time. I moved Lamb ahead of Cooper in the projections with some tweaks for projected target share, maybe a little missed time for Amari Cooper. But, I mean, the talent's there. The pedigree's there. He's a first-round pick entering year two. I mean, of course, we expect him to take a step forward. And keep this in mind, too. He was wide receiver 11 in fantasy with Dak Prescott last season. I mean, what if
Dak first four games as a rookie?
Exactly. What if he didn't get hurt? I mean, we might be talking about him with Justin Jefferson all offseason long instead of him starting to spike right now as we're in mid-August.
And I think what's exciting is if you're you know, seeing some of the reports out of Dallas Cowboys camp is they are lining him up all over the field. His route tree has really expanded this year. We always talk about how a player makes the biggest jump from year one to year two, and well, that's what CeeDee Lamb. We expect CeeDee Lamb, who was already great when he got into the NFL, we all expect him take another leap this year.
He's like the Mike Clay of NFL wide receivers because Mike can be in multiple places at one time, as can CeeDee Lamb. He can line up in the slot. He can line up on the perimeter. Mike Clay can be here on radio while also on Daily Wager at the exact same time wearing two very different outfits. Mike, a man of many talents.
That was like 20 minutes ago, too. Oh, so wow. we're just flying right through this thing. Well, it's a marathon, right? It's a marathon. It's back to back to back. You guys know.
If I had the gumption, I'd put CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver 5 because I think there's a chance he finishes one of the 5 best wide receivers in fantasy this year.
Yeah.
Another player.
Look, just the fact that he is sometimes being taken ahead of or being drafted ahead of Amari Cooper should tell you something. I mean, because like Amari Cooper's really good.
$22 million a year good, right?
Yeah. I mean, like it's not like Amari Cooper is some sort of slouch. Like Amari Cooper's really good and young still. And by the way, Michael Gallup, it's why we talked about in the first hour, why I'm so high on Dak Prescott despite, you know, the noise about his shoulders. Mm-hmm. Stefania gives him a clean bill of health. I'm in on Dak. I'm in on the Cowboys offense. Disappointingly so as a Washington fan, but Cowboys are going to be good offensively this year. Very good.
With good reason to be in on them. I'll give you one tight end. Only one tight end made my list this year of Fields favorites. So Jonnu Smith in New England. I've got him at tight end 8, well above most other rankers here. And this is not about what he has done. It's a reminder that in free agency, you are wise to pay a player for what you expect him to do, not what he has done up to that point, even if that's been greatness. Jonnu Smith, if you were to have an NFL combine right now and just put all the NFL tight ends in there, he might win this arbitrary combine that I'm making up. He would win the decathlon if there was a tight end decathlon. Maybe he or perhaps George Kittle. He's an absolute freak, though, athletically. The problem was he played in the third least pass-happy offense last year, who also happened to have A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry as the primary arteries in their offense. Jonnu Smith, when he got the football in space, was electric. There was a play last year that I think – a couple of years ago where there was an interception thrown in the end zone, and Jonnu Smith was like 25 yards behind the intercepting player, and he meets him like 80 yards down the field and brings him down. And you're like –
He pulled a DK Metcalf.
Yeah, it's
everyone
a DK Metcalf.
Famous play.
James Harrison play from the Super Bowl. That is the kind of athlete that Jonnu Smith is, and – earlier in the show, Matthew mentioned following the money. You don't pay a guy $50 million, which the Patriots are going to over the next 4 years, without making him a huge part of your offense. Mike, I know it's really hard to have two tight ends sustained in one offense, but do you think I'm unwise for sort of putting my chips onto the table for Jonnu?
You know, you covered all the things I was going to fire back already. Like, we've worked together for long enough. You already knew where I was going. Pass performance, Hunter Henry, the two tight ends in this offense. But look, there's no doubt about the talent. There's no doubt about the post-catch production. To your point, he's been top 7 in yards after the catch 3 straight seasons now. He can do that damage. My drawback is, you know, he's been around for a while. He's still yet to put together a top 15 fantasy season. But to your point, he's with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and they're going to maximize him. They paid him for a reason. So I'm interested in him. I think I have him like a borderline top 12 option. I think there's hope for him. But, you know, I am a little nervous about his ceiling just because of Henry there and the other people around him. I do want to see Mac Jones with him, though, because that's going to be more pass attempts. That's going to mean more opportunity for targets, of course, and production. With Cam Newton, we know he's going to steal goal line work, and it won't be as pass-heavy of an offense.
Here's the positive side of this here. Hunter Henry hasn't played all 16 games in an NFL in his career, and now we're 17 games. And so I think the only concern for me on Jonnu Smith is, are you going to know what weeks to start him? Like, he will absolutely have some monster fantasy games this year. There's no question about it. I agree with you on the talent, and there's opportunity there. But just – The Patriots system, at least to date, is usually about spreading the ball around. I think they're going to be run heavy, certainly if Cam starts the season as their quarterback. And to your point, even though they'll have two tight end sets, you're going to have Hunter Henry there, who's a good threat in the red zone. If I have to pick a Patriots wide receiver, I prefer Jonnu Smith, but I am outside my top 10 because I'm concerned about knowing when to start him.
Same thing, yeah.
You know what, though? It's not your list of favorites. It's my list of favorites.
Right.
These are my favorites. One more
there
here, and then we're going to go out to the phone lines. One more for me, and I'll go to running back here. And I've sort of come around to this player, and I'm going with the talent trust thing. It's Jonathan Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts, who there was some fading early on in the preseason because of the fact that his offensive line, specifically his best offensive lineman, Quentin Nelson, was hurt. His quarterback was hurt, and Carson Wentz, and would teams be stacking the box? Marlon Mack is back after a one-year hiatus because of an Achilles tear. I'm just in. I'm trusting the talent here, Matthew. I just think he is the most talented player on the offense, not named Quentin Nelson. I think this guy's bound for stardom.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and question his talent because I'm with you there. My only concern with him, and it's a slight one. Look, you have him at 8, I'm at 11. So we have three spots different. And as we get closer to the season, we know that Wentz and Nelson will start game one, then I'd probably move him up a little bit more. My concern is that last year he got a tremendous amount of run, right? But that was with Marlon Mack out for the entire season. And it does seem like they want to use a bit of a committee here. And so, listen, is Jonathan Taylor the alpha dog? Of course he is. But does Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack get enough run to be annoying as a fantasy manager with Jonathan Taylor on your roster? I think there's a chance of that. So if he doesn't get insane volume, still really talented. Again, I have him at 11, you have him at 8. You know, sort of nitpicking here a little bit. But, Mike, I'm not as optimistic as Field because Marlon Mack is back and healthy, and they like him in Indy.
I hear you, and perhaps that caps his ceiling a little bit. It's why we would not – it's why he could be as good as he was last season, and we're not talking about him with Christian McCaffrey, right?
Right.
Because he's kind of capped in that department. However, I'll say this. As efficient and effective as he is as a rusher, as good as he was last season, he also is top two in yards per target and catch rate among running backs. Like, I don't feel like we've talked about that at all. He is an effective pass catcher, too. He has that in his skill set, and that's why I think he can push for 45 catches and you know, over 300 touches this season and still be a quality RB1. So I'm with you.
That is a great point because that was one of the knocks on him coming out of college is, like, he never caught the ball at Wisconsin. You never needed to.
Yeah,
when you're rolling over everybody into the end zone, you never need to catch the ball.
Yeah, he was unbelievable, obviously.
So, you're right. He caught the ball more than I think people thought he was going to in his first year, and you expect that to expand.
Field's favorites will eventually be out on ESPN.com. I don't know when, but I'm working on it right now. There are a few other players that come to mind. We'll save some of those for the written piece. But let's head out to the lines right now, the phone lines. Again, if you want to get in the action, dial 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And we appreciate the patience. Let's head out now to the phone lines. And first, we talk to Jared in Tennessee. Jared, what do you got?
Hey, guys. So I have Joe Mixon in my keeper league, and I was just wondering what you think the best case scenario ceiling for him is this year.
Well, Jared, first of all, good player to have on your keeper roster. Thanks for the question. Matthew, I'll start with you. What's the ceiling for Joe Mixon this season?
The ceiling for Joe Mixon is, you know, a star RB1. Mm-hmm. This is an offense that we think is going to be behind. Mixon can be a true three down back. He's got a 45 catch season under his belt. We know Giovanni Bernard. He's now in Tampa Bay, so we know that he can be on the field quite a bit. And with the addition of Jamar Chase, second year of T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, assuming a fully healthy Joe Burrow. As Stefania said in the first hour, she expects him to be back and ready. Yeah, like he could get on the field a lot, and that's an electric offense. And especially if you're a defense coordinator, you're saying, like, wow, I got to deal with Higgins, Chase, and Boyd. So maybe some nice boxes for Joe Mixon to see, some lighter boxes. Having said that, there's a bad offensive line. He's got an injury history, and how often are they going to be in scoring position? I don't know. But the ceiling, to answer your question, the ceiling is top five running back because he's going to get a ton of volume. He's a talented player on an offense that's going to be throwing a lot, and he's a pass-catching running back.
No doubt. And just look at his volume the past couple of seasons. 75% of the carries in 2019 and 8% of the targets last year when he played, 81% of the carries and 12% of the targets, even more. I mean, when he's out there, they use him a ton. Super talented. Just turned 25 years old. Still a relatively young back. And actually, for once, a little bit of positivity with the Bengals line. I mean, when's the last time we've had that with the two tackles, Riley Reiff and Jonah Williams? A little bit of positivity there with those guys. So I think it's setting up for potentially a career year for Joe Mixon.
And the other thing I'll say here about Mixon is that I think there's a phrase we use a lot, but the, quote, hate has gone too far on him. Like, there's certainly concerns, especially given how last year ended and kind of a weird injury. But he's going in the middle of the third round.
Yeah.
He's going as running back 14. That strikes me as really low. Like, originally I was out on Joe Mixon, but now given current ADP, like, I'm back in on Joe Mixon.
Matthew Berry is back in on Joe Mixon. But as we talked about earlier, Matthew writes a love-hate column every year.
Yep.
And the love side we've already covered. But there's a couple of players, Matthew, and hate, a reminder, not personal. You don't think the player's a bad player. It's just that where that player is being drafted, you don't think that's exceptional value. So let's go through a couple of players that might this year be a little bit overvalued in your estimation.
I think Matt Ryan is being overvalued. And I understand, look, he's going as QB, like, he's not going particularly high, right? I mean, I believe he is going as a mid-tier QB, currently going as, yeah, he's currently going like QB 14, 15 in that range. That's both where you guys both have him ranked. I'm at QB 19, so I'm lower than consensus. You know, my concern here is that you think about some of the people that he's being drafted ahead of Trey Lance, for example. Like when you're down that low, he's being drafted in the same round as Tua. Basically, he's being drafted in the same round as Justin Fields. I would rather any of those guys, Tua, Lance, or Fields, significantly ahead of Matt Ryan. And I get it. Two of those three guys don't have a starting job at the moment. But the concern is if you're down that far, like what you want is upside. And I don't think there's any upside in Matt Ryan, who does not run, obviously. Right? So the what you're hoping for is that there's massive volume. But look at his splits. Last year, there were seven games in which Julio Jones missed. He averaged 14.2 fantasy points per game in the games in which Julio Jones missed. And obviously, Julio now in Tennessee. He averaged 22.1 in the games where Julio was there. I get it. They drafted Kyle Pitts. And all due respect to Kyle Pitts, and we think Kyle Pitts is a monster and he's going to be a fantastic NFL and fantasy player. But a rookie tight end does not replace first ballot Hall of Famer Julio Jones in his first year. He doesn't.
Matthew Beard, just so you know, Matt Ryan is going as quarterback 18 right now as far as ADP. He's only being drafted in 42% of leagues, and it's the same, like he's right in that same area as Baker Mayfield.
But that.
I understand, but like he's also, like again, like, but he's going in the same, he's going ahead of Trey Lance.
Of course,
Going in the same round. He's going in the same round to the extent that he's being drafted. He's going in the same round as Trey Lance, as Tua, as Justin Fields. And these two guys on the other side of me all have him at 14.
Well,
I'm at 19. I'm at QB 19.
Well, Mike and I have obviously, like, we've got many, many championships under our belt, so it's not a huge surprise that we have him at quarterback 14.
I just think there's no upside to Matt Ryan, and if I'm drafting a quarterback that late, I want upside.
I tend to agree. I guess I like him more in a super flex format where he's like a safe QB too, but I agree that he doesn't have the ceiling he used to, right? I mean, he only has one top 10 the past 4 years in one of the pass heaviest offenses in the NFL. Remember, it's a new coaching staff now. It's not going to be pass-heavy Atlanta like it's been the last couple of years, the Dirk Cutter era. Like that's over with now. It's going to be a run-first offense. Keep in mind, Tennessee, 31st in pass attempts during the Arthur Smith era. That's going to be the case, I think, going forward. Maybe not to that extent, but certainly not the pass-happy Falcons offenses that we're used to.
Let's talk about David Montgomery for a second.
Okay.
Because he's a Fields favorite. He's not a Matthews favorite.
He's on my hate list.
Come on, give it to me. Tell me more.
So, look, I get, and by the way, I will admit, of all the players that are on my hate list, this is the one I'm most nervous about blowing up in my face. I will be honest. I will be honest about that. But here's a guy that had like 8 touchdowns in his final 6 games. He was just an absolute superstar down the stretch. And why did that happen? It happened for a couple reasons. He had a great schedule. He had an unbelievable schedule down the stretch. He had tremendous passing game usage, and he had a huge workload. I am concerned about all three things. I don't know that he gets as much workload this year, given that they added Damian Williams, and eventually Tariq Cohen will come back. I also think both Williams and eventually Cohen will take some passing game work. When Cohen was healthy, Montgomery averaged just 2.3 targets a game. After Cohen was injured, he averaged basically 5 targets a game. So I'm worried about his passing game usage. I don't think the schedule is going to be as friendly, and my expectation is that Justin Fields takes this job over sooner rather than later, and I think he vultures 3 or 4 touchdowns, which could matter. Right? You know, when they get in close, like, are they handing off to Montgomery or is Justin Fields doing a bootleg to the corner?
So I think that basically all the factors that you're concerned about, I'm not concerned about. Not all of them, but at least some of them. First of all, I've noticed that when we reflect upon running backs who broke out at the end of last year, we talk about David Montgomery's schedule, but we ignore Jonathan Taylor's schedule, including a 37-point effort in Week 17 against the lowly Jaguars that skews his total season ranks. I feel like David Montgomery, and I know he's not the player that maybe people expected him to be right out of the gates when many thought he would be an immediate RB2 as a rookie. I think he's a good player. The Bears have been incredibly outspoken in their dedication to David Montgomery. He showed enough last year that I'm just... A lot of the criteria for Fields favorites this year, Mike, is just basically, I think the player's more talented than we're giving him credit for. David Montgomery fits that mold.
And I liked him a lot coming into the league. But speaking of people outspoken about where, you know, about David Montgomery, how about David Montgomery, who he was caught on air complaining about his rankings across the industry in fantasy? He's not thrilled that he's seeing himself around 20 or so.
David's going to be on Fields' favorite. It's all good. Everything, all's well that ends well, David.
You saw that. Now you're,
part of the concern here is also, is again, my hate list is about where players are being drafted. And David Montgomery's going 30th overall. Here's some of the players that he's going ahead of. CeeDee Lamb, Mike Evans, Allen Robinson, you know, like Chris Carson. I prefer Chris Carson to him, I think Chris Carson is safer. I know other people don't. But anyway, so I guess there's that as well.
Here's the main thing for me. I moved him up recently to 15th in running.
That's where I have ranked as well. Man.
Good thinking, Mike.
So, but here's the thing. Tariq Cohen right now, he might miss a lot of the season now. It's not looking so high. And that was key for me. I think Montgomery's going to get a lot of that passing down work early in the season. That moved the needle for me.
I think Damian Williams gets more run than people are thinking about. I don't think he's there as depth. I think Damian Williams is a good player.
I think he's there as depth personally. That's just my own take, but we'll see. And I'm in on David Montgomery. One of us will be right. The other will be Matthew Berry. Guest join us here on the Goodyear Hotline. And coming up, Mike Clay is going to break down some of his rankings. Mike is the man responsible for all the projections at ESPN. He has limitless insight. But first, DoorDash is here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off that. You got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. You want to surprise your crush? Ooh, send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees all year round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions do apply. Mike Clay's rankings here next on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also on Sirius XM Channel 80 rolls along, and it is the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast in for Max today as the Fantasy Football Marathon continues until 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All over ESPN, whether it's ESPN Radio, eventually ESPN2. You can get involved in this show at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. If you want to watch the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, you can do so Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And the Max Kellerman Show was presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So Mike Clay is here along with Matthew Berry, and I am Field Yates. And Mike is the man responsible for projections here at ESPN. He has an incredibly thorough process that gets him to his rankings as well during the preseason.
And I think you should understand sort of the projections. I just think this is important that, like, so you know how, like, you're playing on ESPN Fantasy.
Okay.
And it'll, like, show you you're projected to win.
Right.
Right? And then you don't win.
Right, so it's Mike's fault.
It's Mike's fault.
Just remember
in case
that.
You were wondering, like, that happens to you and you get really frustrated. You're like, wait, I was supposed to win by 10 points. How did I lose by 5?
You want to defend your honor, Mike?
At Mike Clay NFL is where you should, you know, direct your comments.
I mean, I'm just surprised that had to be said because, like, I see my reply column all Sunday long when I get those messages and the, you know, Instagram DMs and stuff. So I thought everyone knew that already. Yeah. But maybe not.
DM, that's an interesting one because you have to accept the DM on Instagram, whereas the reply on this is visible whether you actually accept it or not.
Well, your mistake is reading them.
Yeah.
Let's get into some of the ranks. You know. Great call there. Just ignore. Let's get to some of the ranks and projections for this year, Mike. And one of the biggest names traded this offseason was Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. He, of course, goes to a new team that we think could be very pass heavy this year and certainly has great weapons to throw it to. What's your outlook for Matthew Stafford this season?
You know, it's okay, you know, like borderline QB1. I mean, look, here's the thing. It's 2021. There's a laundry list of quarterbacks who can run the ball, you know, and Matthew Stafford is not one of them. So what would it take for him to be an average weekly QB1, like 5 or 6, we'll say? Tom Brady last year, right?
Like 40 yards.
40 touchdowns, 45 touchdowns, a ton of passing yards. You know, Brady had one of the best supporting casts in the league, a pass-heavy offense. You know, I think the Rams' offense will lean toward the pass. That's been the history of Sean McVay. But and he has decent guys to throw the football to, but it's not going to be quite as pass-heavy. And, you know, he doesn't run the ball. And that's just, Matthew, for me, that limits him, right? So I believe I have him 14th on my board. He was 16th last year. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL talent-wise. But I just think because of all the other competition, all these guys like Wilson and Jackson and Prescott and Murray and Allen and Mahomes and even Jalen Hurts, they just do so much with their legs that he can't do enough with his arm to offset that.
Yeah, the only and I have him in the same range as well. I'm like one or two spots higher than you. The only argument for is that, like, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's got really good talent around him. And again, as you know, with the loss of Cam Akers, do they want to lean on Daryl Henderson, who has had some fragility issues in his young NFL career? He's had some injury issues, and so maybe they don't feel like he can take a full bell cow workload. They have Xavier Jones and Jake Funk. They don't have a lot of depth behind him, so maybe they're a little bit more pass happy. And Sean McVay's is as good an offensive mind as there is in the NFL.
No,
so that's the argument, is that, like, just could he have just a monster season? Because it's a, you know, Jared Goff has put up viable fantasy seasons, and Matthew Stafford is significantly better at this stage of his career.
And that's
than Jared
what he
Goff.
Needs. That's my point. He needs that absolutely to compete as a plus for you on a week to week basis.
I agree.
Fantasy.
You just mentioned Sean McVay. His former team is your team, the Washington football team. That's a lot of time saying team in about 5 seconds. Mike, Antonio Gibson has a chance to be a breakout star this year, even though he was really, really good last year. What's your outlook for Antonio Gibson?
Yeah, so you guys did your loves and your feet. What are we calling those feet?
Favorites.
So
Gibson's
golden boys.
Like 5 minutes ago. Yeah.
Well, I'm still workshopping it in my mind. We're still processing the name. But Gibson is probably my number one guy this year for sure. And Matthew, I'm sure I know you like him as well.
Love him.
It's such a good situation, right? He was a day two pick last year. This is a guy that had 33 carries in college, worked out with the wide receivers at the combine. Do you remember last year in like April, May, June, we're like, is he going to play running back or wide receiver? Like, they really need receivers. Yeah. He might play receiver. No, he goes in and is one of the most effective rushers in the NFL, has 11 rushing touchdowns, handled all kinds of volume, and was limited in a big way as a pass catcher. In fact, during the weeks he played last year, he only played 47% of the snaps. Think about all the room he still has to grow in the NFL. He's just going to get better as a rusher. He has good size. He can handle goal line work. He could double his receiving output. I think that all the hype around him right now is legitimate, and the sky's the limit. My bold take this year, whenever I'm asked that question, is he'll be the number one scoring fantasy running back this year. I think he has that ceiling.
As somebody who has him on my roster in the Dynasty League I'm in with both of you guys, I love to hear that. You know, I'm a fan of Gibson. I'm a fan of Washington. I do think that offense takes another step up as well. They improve their offensive line, adding Ryan Fitzpatrick under center. Mm-hmm. They'll be in scoring position more often, especially given that defense is going to get the ball in favorable positions as well. The versatility of Gibson is one of the things that Scott Turner loves. Remember, Scott, of course, was with the Panthers and Christian McCaffrey.
Things are looking up in D.C. First time we can say that in quite some time. So coming up here on the Max Kellerman Show, we'll dive into more notes from Mike's projections, plus talk a little bit of strategy. It is the, of course, ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon. We are going until 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 hours more. But first, download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters. Presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card. The card built for your next adventure. More fantasy football nuggets next on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus returns also on Sirius XM Channel 80. The tunes have been rocking all throughout the show. And the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is in for Max because the Fantasy Football Marathon continues. We have another 6 hours, well, close to 6 hours left here on the Fantasy Football Marathon. And if you want to watch Fantasy Focus Football Podcast Monday through Friday, you can do so at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. It's Field Yates alongside Matthew Berry and Mike Clay. Good to have both of you here with us. And a reminder, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. We're going to head out now to the phone lines, and we begin with Brittany in Pennsylvania. What do you got, Brittany?
Hey, guys. Huge fan of all of you.
Curious,
with all of the mock drafts and real drafts you've done so far, where is your favorite spot to draft from?
Great question, Brittany. Thanks for that one. I'm going to go
around
the bend.
Brittany, who are you a bigger fan of? She said she's a huge fan of all of ours.
If she's still on the line, she can answer me.
I mean, I have to admit, I took Matthew's advice last year and took Daniel Jones in the draft, so I'm a little bit upset with him.
All right, well,
so
we can cut her off. We can say,
leaning more towards the other guys right now.
There we go, Brittany. Well,
you know what?
Said.
That's fair, Brittany. That's fair.
I was just expecting Stefania. Like, I thought, just assumed that was coming. Yeah. I assume everyone will discuss Stefania.
Brittany, I apologize. Thank you for still being a fan after that brutal call from last year.
All right,
It's not just me that blew that call. It's also Dave Gettleman. So, come on, let's be honest.
Wow, spicy for Matthew, but not inaccurate. Let's talk about our favorite draft position, Mike. So let's assume, 10 or 12 team league. Where do you think you would like to be, whether it's one specific spot or a range of spots?
Yeah, look, I hate to give this answer, but pick your spot. I mean, I don't have. Wait, I'll expand. I'll expand. I don't have a major issue with any spot. If I'm picking though, if someone just says, "Go ahead, pick your spot," you get to pick first. I just take McCaffrey. I'll just take that number one spot. Yeah. However, I'm in a 12-team draft right now, and there's this Matthew Berry guy in there, and I'm picking at the I'm picking 12, so I'm at that turn. And I got to be honest, Field, I am dominating this draft.
Wow, tell me more. Who do you have?
Dominating this. Nick Chubb, Antonio Gibson, Robert Woods, Amari Cooper, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Noah Fant, Russell Wilson. I mean, just complete dominance from the 12 spot. I mean, no one else in this league has a chance here.
Are we even
going to read my team? My team in that league is pretty good, too.
Oh, no, I don't think so. But, I don't. Whatever. I don't think so. Anyway, that's from the 12 spot.
Read it. Let's hear it.
I'm in the 5 spot in that particular league.
Do you want me to read your team?
Yeah, I believe it's... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, DK Metcalf, Chris Carson, Adam Thielen, Josh Allen, Tyler Boyd, Logan Thomas. I like some of those guys. There's a lot of older players there, though. That makes me a little nervous.
Is this Dynasty or what?
No, it's just a best ball.
And it's a best ball. It's a one quarterback best ball league. Yeah.
Interesting.
So at any rate, to answer your question, Brittany, it depends on sort of the league that you're in and what your rules are, but assuming you're playing an ESPN Standard League, which is a one quarterback league, 10 team, I agree with Mike. I want the first pick, but I think I'd really want to be in the first 4 picks.
Gotcha.
Because I think there are 4 running backs that are, or really 5.
I throw Zeke in there as well.
Yeah, I'd throw Zeke in there as well. I sort of agree. I think there are 5 running backs that are super, super safe. If you want to like sort of nitpick, is there a concern that Derrick Henry doesn't get all the touchdowns that he has previously because he doesn't really catch a lot of passes? Is there a concern about Kamara if Taysom Hill is the starter and, you know, he averaged 14 fantasy points per game when Taysom Hill was the starter last year? And so, you know, like, again, if you want to nitpick, so maybe in the first 3. But honestly, I think in the upper half of the draft, because wide receiver is so deep, I want one of those running backs where there's really no questions at all.
Feels like sort of the dead zone, the place where you may not want to be, is 7 through 9. Like at 10, if it's a 10-team league, at least you have back-to-back picks. So you can potentially feel good about either having elite wide receiver play on your roster or 2 running backs that are rock solid. It gets a little bit sort of hairier between 6, 7, 8, 9, where you're having to decide, do I take that last running back or do I take that first wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good spot to get Travis Kelce, though, which I'm more than happy to do in the first round. But I will say this, another advantage to the first overall pick is when you come back around in the 2-3 area, I mean, there's some serious talent there. I mean, if you start McCaffrey, you can come back and go like Justin Jefferson and potentially A.J. Brown. I mean, that's about where they're going. Maybe Keenan Allen or, you know, even Clyde Edwards-Helaire or someone like that if you want to go running back. I mean, there is seriously a lot of talent at that 2-3 turn, and that's fantastic. You can really get a good 1-2-3 start.
Pick 5 is my favorite spot this year only because I feel good that I'll get any of my top 5 running backs, and then I am closest up for my second round pick. So pick 5 is sort of my sweet spot.
When you're in the middle like that, especially, you don't get caught on at the end of any runs. If there's a position run, then you're not sort of like stuck at the end trying to figure out where you want to go.
Understanding that Matthew usually picks first based off of, like, you know, reverse order of last year's standings. Like, it's I know it's unfamiliar territory for you.
Well, but you and I play together in the War Room League. Would you like to come visit my trophy? Because I know I can't come visit yours.
Wow, I've only been in the league for a few years, so give me some time. I'm calling a win this year in the War Room League. Can't wait for that.
Okay.
Got a couple minutes left here on the show. So let me ask you guys a couple of questions here. And Mike, I'll start with you. When's the right time to take the top of the single positions, players at either quarterback or tight end? How soon for a quarterback? How soon for a tight end?
Well, my my zone for quarterback is really around 6 and 7, looking at a 12-team league, so maybe even a pinch later in a 10-teamer. But like Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, that's really where I'm going for. I want one of those two guys. We know they have elite ceilings. Last time we saw Dak, he was QB2. For a full season, then obviously he was on pace for over 7,000 yards early last season before his injury. And of course, Lamar Jackson, we've seen him be the QB1 before. So I like that tier at quarterback. That's when I would start thinking about it. At tight end, like I just said, I would take Travis Kelce in the middle of the first round. I think he'll pay that off. I have him projected for 60 more points than any other tight end. So I guess that's my answer.
Matthew, anything else to add there?
Yeah. No, I totally agree with Mike. Travis Kelce is a first rounder.
Yeah, Travis Kelce will go in the first round of your draft. 5 straight seasons with 1,000 plus receiving yards, and of course, that is the only tight end in NFL history to ever do. As a matter of fact, no tight end has ever had more than five 1,000-yard receiving seasons in his entire career.
Right.
He's done it in five straight years. Travis Kelce has a chance in this league if he just grows that beard back. We had a lot of fun here. Thanks for allowing us to hang out with you on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. He is Mike Clay NFL on Twitter, Matthew Berry TMR on Twitter, and all forms of social media. I am at Field Yates. Find us tonight on ESPN2 Fantasy Football Draft. Max Kellerman Show back tomorrow.
Peace out.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.